218 seats. That's the number. That's the number needed to win.
It's election day. And if you haven't heard, this is a big one. Today's vote will determine control of the House and Senate, and Pennsylvania could play a pivotal role. President Trump won Pennsylvania back in 2016. Luzerne County, in the northeastern part of the state, hadn't voted for a Republican since 1988.
100 miles north in Luzerne County, hopes are higher than they have been for years. Voters elected Trump by a 20-point margin.
But if you talk to voters in Luzerne County, you'll find an electorate as polarized as the rest of the country feels right now. From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Today's show, For Whom the Bellwether Tolls. WHYY reporter Jen Kinney took a recent trip out to Luzerne.
So I went out to Wilkes-Barre, and I hadn't reported on a swing district before. I'd read a lot about Luzerne County, and I didn't really know what I would find once I got there. And then within 15 minutes of showing up at the hotel, I met a man named Tom. Just recording. Yeah, there's no tape. Yeah, just audio. Who was sitting out back. He was actually watching CNN on his phone. And so I could tell he was interested in the news. So I went up and started talking to him.
I mean, this is interesting. It's a little weird talking with that thing in my face, but I'm happy to discuss things with you, sure.
The very first thing that Tom asked me was if I was part of the liberal media. What did you just ask me?
I asked if you're liberal, if you have a liberal bent, because I wanted to be sure I knew who I was talking to.
How do you answer that?
You know, I say I'm with NPR, and I think most people, when they hear that, they think liberal media. But the thing that he was really concerned about is whether or not I would be fair to him.
They put you in a corner and try and make you look bad.
And, you know, of course I told him I wasn't going to, but what was really interesting to me was that he also kept asking me questions because in his mind, I was the liberal media, and he never speaks to people who are liberals.
The economy is busting. I mean, what is it that liberals don't like? I'm asking you.
You're asking me?
You can turn that off if you don't want to answer it on tape, because I am curious. Because I work with a bunch of people who agree with me, so I live in a bubble. What don't you like?
Had he voted before?
He had not voted until the 2016 election. He registered to vote in that election, and yet this year he's voting in the midterms for the first time.
And what did he say drove him to do that? What did he say drove him into politics, this person who was pretty apolitical before that?
He said that he had been a supporter of President Obama, but he had never voted for him.
Initially, I was very happy that a black man became president. Obama, I was all for it.
Oh, Obama could, like, inspire anyone, even a conservative. He was a good talker.
The willingness to speak out for what is right, to shake up the status quo, that's America.
And he'll inspire a conservative to be like, wow, I really like what he's saying. He's very good at that.
But then something about Trump, the way that he was not a good talker, that he seemed to represent people that Tom knew.
When Trump got involved, I was like, honestly, this dude is hilarious. He is funny. He's a smartass, but he's very frank and he keeps it real.
And we're going to start to get very nasty over the wall. You know, the Democrats.
He's not flowering his speech with a bunch of beautiful words.
He had also gotten really distrustful of Obama in the second term. He brought up a couple of issues that were really controversial and divisive on the national level. The directive on transgender people using bathrooms.
I was thinking, why is this news? Why are we talking about this?
The Obama Iran nuclear deal.
Handing the Iranians all that cash on pallets.
Things like that, that he said made him think, I don't like the direction the country's going in.
I just kept saying, what is going on with this country? Everything just seemed very backwards.
You went in search of the local Republican Party, and you found it in an office park.
What are you doing with that microphone?
I'm a reporter.
You're a reporter. What are you reporting on, if I may ask?
But when you entered the building, you also stumbled upon a man named Jerry. Tell me about Jerry. And I should add, both Tom and Jerry refused to give their last names.
Yeah, that's right. I was kind of standing in the lobby of this Office Park building trying to figure out how I find this Republican Party office. And this man walked in and saw me and wanted to know where I was from. And he had a really different reaction from Tom.
Well, most media these days are to the right of center. You know, they're corporate owned.
I said I worked for WHYY. It's an NPR affiliate. And he said, oh, National Petroleum Radio.
You're taking money from the Koch brothers. I used to.
So right away, I knew this was going to be a very different kind of interaction.
Did that make you feel better because that, like, both liberals and conservatives think that we are coming at it from the opposite place from where they are?
It kind of did. It kind of did. I felt like, okay, I guess people perceive us to be on both sides.
So what did Jerry have to say? Like, what is he thinking about during the midterms?
You know, I asked him about what's it like living in Luzerne County, this place that swings. And he kind of had some disdain for people who had changed what he had perceived, like were changing their vote to Republican or just were Republican voters saying, you know, people vote against their interests.
There are a number of blue collar people, I would say, that bought into Trump's lies after Bernie got bumped by the DNC and did not get the nomination. Consequently, Trump appropriated a lot of Bernie's rhetoric, his populist rhetoric, and they bought it.
I don't even know if he would call himself a Democrat, more progressive or on the left. He had been a Bernie Sanders supporter and then had voted for Clinton.
Because I felt that she was the better choice of the available two choices.
Have you regretted that choice at all?
Not at all.
So how are Tom and Jerry voting?
Tom is voting a straight Republican ticket, and Jerry is voting a straight Democratic ticket. And what was interesting to me about both of them was that they both said this with huge reservations. Like, Tom was telling me, yes, I'm voting a straight Republican ticket, but I'm not on the Republican train. I'm on the Trump train. He didn't know or care about a lot of Republican policies. He cared about shutting down the Democrats, who he thought have lost their minds. And Jerry said virtually the mirror image. You know, he's supporting Bob Casey. He's going to vote straight Democratic because he thinks that democracy is on the line, because he thinks that the Republicans have lost their minds.
How are voters thinking about the recently concluded Brett Kavanaugh hearings as they go into the midterm election?
You know, I had planned to ask voters about that, and everyone brought it up before I could ask. It was a huge motivator. Tom brought it up that it was unfair.
That whole thing? I mean, come on.
Jerry brought it up. When I asked him how he would vote, he said, I'm going to vote straight Democratic.
Especially now that Kavanaugh got pushed through. They stole two Supreme Court seats since Merrick Garland was robbed of his seat during the Obama period.
When I made it upstairs to the Republican Party, these two brothers came in, Tom and William Toth.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Okay.
Hello.
Okay, both of us are independents and would like to register as Republicans.
Registered as Republican?
And they had been registered independents almost all their lives, it seemed, and had mostly voted for conservative candidates, but had decided, because of the Kavanaugh hearings, they were going to switch to Republican so that they could vote in the closed primaries.
We know now, after the debacle at the Supreme Court and the just insanity of the Democratic Party, that we know we're never going to ever vote Democrat again in our lives, at least.
And did you find the reverse? Did you find people registering Democrat to vote because they were outraged at the Kavanaugh hearings?
I did. I walked around the campus of Wilkes University, and a lot of students told me they were not planning to vote. They didn't feel informed enough, but I did meet a couple students who are part of the school's Gay Straight Alliance, and one of them was a sophomore named Sarah Wainand. And she said that the Kavanaugh hearing was a huge motivating factor for her.
Everything was like Brett Kavanaugh. It was like so disturbing to all the women on campus and all like the women in my life and even like the men in my life who could never dream of like, you know, acting the way he has acted. So
the narrative that's out there is that people who had voted Democrat flipped and voted for Trump. But does it seem from your interactions, particularly with people like Tom, like there were a lot of first-time voters in Luzerne County?
You know, I had been hoping and had been expecting, because of the narrative, that I would meet people who had voted for Obama and then had voted for Trump. But it seems as though a lot of those voters were also like Tom. They had never been interested before until they felt like a candidate like Trump really spoke to something that made them want to be involved.
And when you break down the 2016 election in Luzerne County by district, it was actually pretty close, wasn't it?
In some of the areas in downtown Wilkes-Barre where I was talking to people, you've got places where Hillary Clinton actually got slightly more of the vote. You've got, I'm looking at a precinct right now where it's 48% Clinton, 48% Trump, a difference of actually 5 votes in that precinct. You've got other places where Hillary Clinton got 52% and Trump got 45%, and then right next door where Trump got 58% and Clinton got 39%.
So a few lopsided districts made that shift for the county.
Right, but overall, if you look at the county, it's a lot of light pink and a lot of light blue, and then a couple of really deep red and deep blue, but it really is kind of in the middle.
Did you come away with more of an understanding of the mindsets of voters in Luzerne County?
I got a sense that regardless of how people were voting, everyone was really polarized. And it was striking because, like you just said, it's not a place that's 100% red or 100% blue, and yet people talked as though they live in a total bubble, as though they don't know anybody else. I met almost nobody who had a middle ground opinion on this.
Did you feel that the voters that you talked to in any way represented the bigger discourse that we're seeing politically in America?
It felt a lot like seeing my Twitter feed come to life. To be in a place where I could walk down the street and one person was telling me that literally that President Obama was the devil, and the next person telling me that the Republicans are fascists, nobody was in the middle. Everyone was staunchly on one side.
WHYY's Jen Kinney. And that's all for the show. The Y is produced by Annette John Hall and myself. Special thanks to Jen Kinney and Keystone Crossroads. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to review and rate us. Let us know what you thought of the show. I'm on Twitter, @ShyBenYaakov. We'll be back tomorrow.